It's showtime, folks!
Oh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
It's been a minute, it's been too long, but we are back on the air, clocking in here at the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Overtime, yes, overtime, back in the saddle at 6 o'clock here on your Monday evening after an extended Thanksgiving holiday for sure. Tanner Carson, Matthew King, and Justin Feist are in the house with you this evening. Guys, welcome back. It's been a, Matt's been a week for me and you. Justin, it's been over a week since you were in the booth.
Yes, a little work-related, turkey-related, sabbatical. Was not able to be at the show at all last week, but we're back. We're ready to go. Got my freelancing work out of the way. Should be clear sailing for December.
That's good. Made that money, man. Cannot hate on that. Cannot hate on that at all. Matt, how was your weekend? You went down to good old Destin.
Yep.
Not to watch the Vols play basketball, by
the way. Well, because it was in a high school gym.
Which you
didn't you say it was sold out at one point?
Yeah.
You thought it was sold out?
It was. And now I know why, because it was such a small gym. But you guys saw the stream,
right? It
looked
like there were seats, though.
Right? You saw that it was sold out.
There were seats.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was sold out when we checked over a month ago. So I'm wondering if just the people who bought tickets just didn't go to the other games, you know? Because, I mean, especially for the VCU game, it looked like no one was there. But that could have just been the Florida State fan. I didn't get to see the Florida State game.
There were still plenty of empty seats for that one.
Okay.
The one they actually had on real TV, which a lot of people still didn't get CBS Sports Network. I mean, I thankfully did. You know, shout out to my parents in Xfinity, you know, for that one right there.
Putting the work together.
But no one could get the VCU game. We'll talk about the game later on this hour as well, but that's just, how should that happen in 2019?
A top 25 matchup?
Top 20 matchup. At that, you have both those teams going at it, quality teams. VCU a contender to win the A-10 up there with Dayton. Tennessee looking, you know, solid-ish to start the season so far. And you had to watch that on some YouTube live stream.
EmeraldCoastTV.com.
You had to watch it on YouTube channel of some camera shot from the court level view. There was no play-by-play commentary.
It was no Jordan clock. Bowden.
You just had to, it was like watching high school. You just had to figure out what was going on.
Coming from the broadcast program at Brentwood High School, the Brentwood High School broadcast program is better than that. Shout out to WBHS9.
How does a tournament that bad happen? What Tennessee was involved in? I hope we never accept an invitation to that tournament again. No. That tournament might not be a thing next year, honestly.
No, that seemed like a disaster.
You might as well just had that tournament played at some conference room at some Hilton next to the airport down there in Destin. That was pathetic.
Yeah, you could show up to a pickup basketball court, would have been better. That would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome. Would have been a lot more entertaining, but I digress a little bit. Matt, glad you had a good Thanksgiving weekend. I had a good one as well. I got plenty of food, but at the same time, still did not get enough. Hope everybody out there listening to us had a fantastic long Thanksgiving weekend as well. Hope you took in a lot of good sports watching action, not just when it came to Tennessee football and basketball, but also all the good college football that was on starting on Thanksgiving, as well as, of course, NFL football. We'll tackle a whole lot of that later because, guys, we have so much to get into. But I won't waste any more time. We'll go ahead and backtrack to Saturday. It was an attempted monsoon. You had two weather delays. It was ugly. You know, the sky opened up and cried for Juwan Jennings senior day.
As everyone else did.
As everyone else did. But Tennessee did what they were supposed to. Vanderbilt's so bad.
Very bad. They looked a lot like the 2017 Tennessee Volunteers.
I can't believe I let myself in the... See, this is one of the reasons that, I wish we could have had a show like during the middle of the week. You could have tried to talk me off the ledge a little bit. At some point in the middle of last week, I had some thought that Vandy was going to get up for the game and make it very hard for us.
Oh, yikes.
But then I saw that... I got kind of worried after our first three offensive possessions. For three straight three.
Starting off with a pick was not good for the morale.
That's fair.
Starting out with a pick, Vandy gets the field goal off of it. But once I saw the Vandy offense the next few drives, I thought to myself, okay, 10 points will be enough to win this game. And 10 points was sent in overtime because that's all Vanderbilt ended up getting. They were so bad. They were so bad. You should have beat them by a lot more, but I'm not going to complain.
They got lucky on their one touchdown, too. Alante Taylor probably should have picked that off. But, you know, I saw some people complaining about, oh, well, we didn't beat them by 35.
Oh, who cares?
You know what? This is better, in my opinion, because the game was never in reach for Vanderbilt. They had to just sit there and watch as Eric Gray went off. We'll go into that. We just ran the ball all over them, ran two tight end set. Oh, you don't want our quarterback to throw the ball? We'll just keep running it, and you're going to freaking love it, baby. And you know what? It's like when you're playing Call of Duty, right? You'd rather just die from a grenade that just hits you right there than just watch as you bleed out and the entire team starts taking over, and you're just watching it happen, because that's what Tennessee did to Vanderbilt.
Nice little reference there. I like that nice little analogy right there. But yeah, it was a painful way for it to go about for Vanderbilt. I really got to see how bad that offense was. Keyshawn Vaughn, who is by far their best weapon, he got hurt sometime in the second quarter. He couldn't come in. That was really all they had. Riley Neal, man. Oh, he was so bad. He was so bad. He tried to make some plays every now and then. He scrambled away a little bit. You know, had that one touchdown throw. Other than that, oh, man, it was bad. And if I would have told you that JG would have went 6-17 for 120 yards, you would have thought that this one would have been a little close.
Probably would have assumed that we would end up in the loss column, but he made the throws that he needed to make. I think at the half he was 4 or 5 for, I don't know, 12 maybe. But the throws that he had made was two critical third downs and then the one touchdown throw. So he was making the ones that counted, but not a great game, but it was serviceable just because Eric Gray just put the entire offense on his back.
It was kind of like JG regressing to the mean a little bit versus what we saw against Mizzou. And you summed it up perfectly right there, Justin. He was serviceable. I will give him credit to this. He had that atrocious start to the game. Not only did he throw the pick, I mean, he went 0 of 7 to start out, and then after that you go 6 of 10, 120. Make some really good connections, like you said, on the third down, allowing Juwan to get in space to get the big 50-plus yard gain to set up the game-clinching touchdown, Eric Gray's third touchdown. Again, we'll get to him just in a second. Had a good move where he was about to get sacked, but he's able to stay on his feet. Did a little shovel pass out to DWA. He was able to scramble for the first down. Then stupid Vanderbilt player just, 10 seconds after the play is over, the Vandy player just decides to give him a shove. Yeah. And he obviously gets flagged for that.
That was I was trying to figure out because I thought they called it a penalty on Tennessee. I was like, what is that for? And then I don't know. That was really dumb.
No, it definitely wasn't there. But again, in the elements that you did have, I mean, you had the delayed start to the game. How long did they delay the kickoff? I think it was 45 minutes?
About.
It wasn't a whole hour, I know that. I didn't sit there for a whole hour in the rain.
And it worked out for me because I got to watch more of that Iron Bowl.
Yeah, I try to keep up with that as best I could. But even with not a sold-out Neyland.
It was kind of dicey at first because we didn't know if we were going to be able to get in the senior day festivities. Mm. That all was supposed to start 40 minutes before kickoff. Rain kind of pushed back when players could get on the field, then pushed everything back. So it was nice to sneak in that ceremony because as soon as the senior day ceremony, everyone had to
back
clear
to
the stand. So. Yeah, those rain delays were frustrating, and it probably wasn't It definitely wasn't the best conditions for senior day. The stands weren't full, but people came out. Some people left during the second delay, but
like
not
me.
Enough people were there at the end, I guess. But it was by the end, it was empty. So
yeah, by the end, that thing was about, I think some people were estimating about 7,000, which the game was over by Eric Gray's third touchdown. I mean, it was just over. I'd seen enough. Even with not like a big packed house, it was a loud crowd.
On TV, it sounded way louder than
crowd
I thought
was very
it would
rowdy be. All day, even before the game. So that was nice to see out there. And with the ugly conditions, meant that Tennessee tried to rely on the running game more. And did it work out in Tennessee's favor? How about this, guys? Not Tim Jordan leading the day. Not a big running back by committee thing. No, a guy we had been waiting all year to have a really big breakout performance, and not even an entire game where he breaks out. I mean, just a play or two against a conference opponent. You know, he'd still been searching for that first rushing touchdown all season. Talked about your one of your sensational freshmen that had been talked about a whole lot positively during fall camp, drawing some Kamara comparisons. You got to hold off on that still. But he waited to the end of the regular season to show out. No, did he show out. Eric Gray, 25 carries, 246 rushing yards, and then three touchdowns.
You know, I was playing NCAA Road to Glory today, and I had a pretty similar stat line to that. It wasn't as good,
not
though.
Not to brag.
It wasn't as good, though. So, really impressed by what Eric Gray was able to do. When they first gave him the ball, we were notified after the game why Ty Chandler isn't playing, but I was really confused why Ty Chandler wasn't getting any carries. But I really like Eric Gray and his speed. Really, the only reason we haven't seen him on the field this much is his mistakes on pass pro.
Yeah, he does have to work on that. I mean, he's not a big dude. He's only 5'9", mm-hmm. So I think some of that will just have to come with more time in the strength and conditioning program.
Yeah, I think as soon as he can build an SEC body, he can be a force. I think out of the three running backs that Tennessee primarily uses, he has the most upside, the most potential. But for right now, he's not the go-to guy. But what we're seeing right now is not nearly his ceiling. I think he can do better than this.
He entered the game with 207 rushing yards on the season. That's just absolutely incredible. Finishing with more than double that number so far. And we'll just go through some of the notable records here, or just the notable plays. So the big, big one is second touchdown, the 94-yarder. I was sitting with good old Flay of Fish, Weston Brown, of the Blitz, sitting with him in his grandpa's season ticket seats down there, row 4 in the north end zone, by the way. It was very good. Very good seats, by the way. I enjoyed that. But Eric Gray ran the entire length of the field towards us. I couldn't believe what I saw. I've never seen a run that big by a Tennessee player. And certainly, you know, not a lot of Tennessee fans who are alive or at least have memories of it have seen a run like that either. The 94-yard touchdown, the longest run by a Tennessee player since Kelsey Finch went 99 yards against Florida in 1977.
Longest run ever by a SEC freshman. So
the longest run by SEC freshman history, 42 years, longest run Tennessee history. Wow.
I wasn't until yesterday able to appreciate that enough. One, because as a Titans fan, I got spoiled by Derrick Henry last year when he went 99. I mean, that was incredible. But watching it on TV from my room, which is very close to Neyland Stadium, I could hear boom, boom, like the celebrate, and I went, oh, man, there's something happened right here. And then, like, as he got the ball pretty much, I heard the fireworks go off, and I'm like, there's no way he scores right here.
Oh, but he did score.
But he just ran past everybody on Vanderbilt's team.
That run put him in the first half at 171 yards on only 6 carries because he had the 56-yarder earlier for Tennessee's first touchdown. So with the 246 yards, he became the first Tennessee running back in 14 years. Talking about Arian Foster, 2005, against Vanderbilt as well, to rush for 200 yards in the game. The 246 is the fifth highest single-game rushing performance in Tennessee history. I feel like if he would have broke one more, he would have easily got that record. The single-game record is 294 by Chuck Webb.
Well, and to be fair, that Chuck Webb record could have gone for even more because I think he got pulled from the game. in that one because they were winning by so much. So, but like I said, Eric Gray, incredible, and I still think he can do more than that. I hope to see him develop more as a little bit stronger, but I think he'll maintain that speed and probably even get faster throughout his collegiate career. Very excited to see the future of Tennessee's roster from players like Eric Gray.
And we'll go ahead and end this segment piggybacking off what you just said, talking about the future, Matt, because I was going to flip it over to defense as well. Mm-hmm. You had some guys making some pretty big plays against Vanderbilt on Saturday that's going to be more of a contributor next season and going forward. Kevon Bennett, he got another sack as well. You had three total on Vanderbilt. DeAndre Johnson, and how about this? Quaveris Crouch each got half a sack.
He's going to be really good.
Now, whereas Crouch needs to not fumble on the goal line. Thankfully, he was able to recover that one. Kind of made me nervous just a little bit, but
yeah,
I'm not going
to
harp.
That was to make fun of JG fumbling on the goal line at Alabama. You know, Quavarius didn't get his fumble.
I think JG is actually the one that dove into the pile to get it.
JG got it.
Shout out him.
I don't remember who got it. I just remember like really like cringing for a minute.
He was reversing the karma. The curse is lifted, ladies and gentlemen.
The last person to get sacked too. How about this? I've been waiting for him to make a lot of impact all season. True freshman Roman Harrison.
Did he redshirt this season?
I mean, could he? His name's not been called hardly.
Right. I don't know if they saved him at all or
maybe the plan. I'll have to check on that.
He's a guy that I think with some time to develop that strength, he's gonna be good.
Looking good for the future a little bit. Certainly a lot better than it did after BYU here. I almost feel like it was yesterday. I didn't know what we were going to do. A lot of us were talking about the feasibility of firing Jeremy Pruitt this season, and now your Tennessee Volunteers have finished 7-5.
My prediction. Let the record show.
My prediction as well. It's not the way that we thought it would happen, but it happened nonetheless. No. 5-3 in the SEC. You know, it's tied for the most SEC wins that you got since you last won the East in 07. I think, what was it, the 15 team got 5-3 in the SEC as well under Butch?
Yes.
Because they ended the season on win streak as well. It's a wild ride to get here, but we got here. We certainly did get here. Tennessee is 7-5, looking at potentially going to a Florida bowl game as well. We'll talk bowl projections coming up here shortly. We'll also touch on one more aspect of the game that certainly was a hot topic when it came to a verified journalist post-game on Saturday as well. Well, just because we have to address it, we'll talk a little bit about Juwan Jennings on the other side here. Bowl projections, talk some Tennessee basketball later on the show, and I will touch on NFL and college football as well. 865-546-8200 is the number to call us on the Nextdoor Home Group hotline. We will go ahead and open up those phone lines, 546-8200. You're listening to Overtime. Keep it right here on Fan Run Radio. Oh, the humanity after the game Saturday. Oh, the humanity.
It wasn't him.
Oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did there with the bumper selection. Welcome back to Overtime. We'll go ahead and address it. I mean, we don't have a long segment here, but everyone else has talked about it. I mean, we haven't had a chance to. We'll go ahead and talk about what happened near the end of the game. Juwan Jennings, by the way, should he have been in on special teams? Do you think the coaches were just trying to get him stats on his for senior night?
Absolutely.
I don't agree with him being out the game that late anyway, just for fear of injury. That's just
me. I mean, it was senior day, and I think part of this kind of plays into what we're about to talk about, but he was not very happy. You could kind of see in his body language with kind of how his senior day was going.
Yeah,
he ended up being our leading receiver with two catches for 56 yards. But, not the ideal way to go out. at Neyland Stadium for the last time, and that, I think, kind of played into this a little bit.
And we already know he doesn't like Vanderbilt at all. So
not at all.
There's no surprise there is any type of scuffle. So I'm looking at the video again. So do you all remember the Vandy returner's name? Because I don't remember.
He had like a double name.
The hyphenated name. Okay. So gives him the hit because of the rain. So,
Justice Shelton Mosley.
Okay, so they fall on the tarp. Of course, it turns into a slip and slide with all the rain. There's a pile on Tennessee's sideline. You know it's going to get heated. We don't know what's being said between the two. Now, I will say, Juwan, he at the moment, all that stuff, he's got to not try to like rip the dude's helmet off. But again, you don't know if he tried to do that first because we see Juwan's helmet. By the time he gets up, his helmet's almost to the complete side. His chin strap's all the way up in his face. Walking away, and look, he's just, he gets up, he's trying to get away. I don't think he cared what he was going to hit, but he didn't look him right in the eyes, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to stomp on your skull, buddy, without the helmet. And immediately, so predictably, just like after the Jerry Pruitt tugging on Garantano's face mask, grabbing the jersey of Sean Schamberger. Just after that, oh my God, the pearl clutching was out. It was the Adam something, some verified account, some verified writer with like 5,000 followers said, I unironically said, this is worse than Myles Garrett.
I wouldn't go that far, bud.
Give me a damn break. Give me a damn break. And you know what's funny? It's not even 48 hours after it. And I haven't seen hardly anyone talk about it.
Yeah,
it's almost like the media always wants to move on to the next thing to be, especially sports media. They want to move on to the next thing to get some outrage over. Man, Juwan ain't going
to
be.
They tried to generate some outrage, though. I think part of it was whatever color announcer was on TV.
DJ Shockley, who played quarterback at Georgia in the mid-2000s. Oh,
was he the one that made that video for ESPN, too?
Yeah, he's commentating. Yeah. He's saying, like, this is one of the worst things I've ever seen in the game of football.
They, like, made a feature video about it that was, like, the top video on ESPN. But obviously, it didn't get enough traction.
DJ Shockley was playing football was the worst thing I've ever seen in a football game. So,
Ooh, burn. Guys, what do you think about this real quick? Because, like, look, he's not even talking about it anymore. He's going to play the bowl game. Anyone who's crying about it, they can get over it. All they're going to do is complain, and they'll move on. That's all they're going to do. Now, should Juwan have to run some extra sprints, you know, do a little extra in practice because he put himself in that position? Certainly. He's got to be smarter about that. He's got to be smarter about getting into the scuffle like that. I'm not excusing anything like that, but he didn't try to, like, harm this dude by stomping on him. Give me a break.
Yeah,
Justin.
Stomp isn't the right word. He stepped on him. I absolutely am not trying to defend Juwan Jennings, you know, just as a Tennessee fan, but really I think people have kind of blown this way out of proportion.
I saw a zoomed in look. It seemed like he was just trying to get his footing and not like his whole weight came down. So even if it wasn't, like, I don't see a world where this was intentional. Obviously there was probably more force and contact than what was necessary overall throughout the entirety of that situation, but I'm not gonna I don't think for a second that, you know, that he's just trying to stomp on that guy's face.
This is an Albert Haynesworth. We'll just go ahead and say this is not Albert Haynesworth whatsoever. We're gonna go over to the next door home group hotline. Is it Connor we have
yes,
on the line?
Connor.
Hey, how's it going, Phil?
What's up, man? What you got for us?
Not much, just chilling. I was gonna ask, like, okay, let me put a hypothetical situation out there. Like, obviously, I, among other people, believe Juwan, like, didn't do anything wrong necessarily. I don't think he was intentionally trying to hurt him by any, you know, shot of the margin or anything. But we're getting, I mean, I've done a lot of browsing around Twitter and whatnot throughout the weekend and day, and we are getting dragged through the absolute coals as a fan base overall for this whole thing. And I'm just wondering, like, is our, like, I love Juwan, I love everything he's done for this university, I'm sure most people do, everybody does. Is our fandom getting in the way of how we view this situation, do you think?
I think there's always going to be bias, no matter how you look at it. And I have thought about, no, this was, we were in Nashville playing Vanderbilt, and the same type of situation happened. Let's just say it was someone like, I don't know, Henry T., who was making a, or no, who'd be a returner? It'd be Marquez Callaway in this situation, my bad. Let's say it's like Callaway, you get sent to the bench like that, they slide over in the rain, and the same type of thing happened. Yeah, I think just orange colored glasses, we would be willing to, you know, take it for our guy. But I mean, we're gonna take it for our guy no matter what. And I've honestly tried to look at this as objectively as possible and think that, yeah, you have to be more careful. And he was certainly careless. But the big issue here is the intentional harm, the worst amount of harm, the worst amount of malice. He was trying to do there. And I don't think he was actually purposely trying to stomp on a dude's skull, which is the big issue at hand there. But yes, he's certainly at fault for trying to escalate stuff, which Juwan Jennings trying to escalate some stuff. not out of character or anything like that. But he's not an attempted murderer. Let's get that straight.
Yeah, exactly. Like, from the way I see it, you know, there's always, like, there's going to be a side pro him, there's going to be a side against him, and I'm sure the answer rests comfortably in the middle of the bell curve right there. You know, he's not like a, you know, foaming at the mouth killer trying to, you know, kill some Vanderbilt people. And at the same time, it's not like, you know, I'm sure it didn't look at least entirely accidental. So I'm sure, you know, the answer is somewhere within those, you know, goalposts right there.
Yeah, this was this thing with Juwan and everything that happened was definitely, as far as like his intent and everything, was definitely less definitive than, remember back to the beginning of the season, Cash Daniel twisting Kyle Trask's ankle. That was much more definitive than, you know, any footage we got out of this. And, you know, Cash never got any sort of, you know, he didn't get in trouble at all. So, I mean, I know it's you know, stomping on a face versus a broken ankle, but it's still kind of the same thing.
And think about our reaction to that, too. Like, we were on the show saying how trash he was. The rest of Twitter was, too. But then, you know what happened? And that's just the way, like, the world works now. We ended up forgetting about it, too, because I wasn't even thinking about the Cash Daniel incident until you brought it up.
We also forgot, because Cash Daniel isn't actually that good.
Oh, that's also true.
Well, thank you all. I appreciate the input. Great talking to you guys. Y'all have a good one.
Hey, Connor, appreciate the call, man. Yeah, it's... I try to do things as objectively as possible, but I also understand at the same time, man, we know the certain writers out there in the media who are going to be anti-Tennessee no matter what. And that's not me trying to whip up some conspiracy, some anti-Tennessee deep state or anything like that. It's been proven. We know the type of people who are just going to be anti-Tennessee no matter what. Man, we've learned years ago that who cares?
I think, honestly, with only the video we have, and it's like really not – you really, like I said, it's not in definitive. I think it's kind of crappy to go after a player and like make a – and have a take – like that commentators, you know, that's like, he was pretty much saying that was an intentional like face stomp, and I think that's kind of reckless. You know, that's not something you should just be throwing around. But
hey, you just got to give out the hot takes in 2019, Justin.
It was the most viewed video on ESPN for 24 hours. So,
well, guess what? He's got one more. He's got one more college football game to play, and then he's gonna. I know. That's just the reality.
Do you think it's going to be hard for anyone to have the type of success that Alvin Kamara had, but like, do you think we'll get like that similar amount? Do you think he'll get a similar amount of buzz, maybe? It's hard for a receiver, but.
It really depends with him, too. And I'm trying. He's going to be a perfect type of almost utility player for some franchise. Mm-hmm. I don't know who it's going to be, and I was still thinking today earlier. I'm sure he will get drafted third day. There's a possibility he couldn't get drafted. He does have a lot of health issues that he's had in his past, as far as like so many different types of injuries that people take into account. And he's not the super most flashiest guy, but he is a very unique brand of wide receiver,
though. I want to see him catch a touchdown from Josh Allen. Juwan Jennings to the Bills, confirmed.
Bills. Break out your Bills jerseys, because no one circles the wagons like the Tennessee Bills. That's for sure. Do some more overtime coming up next. Talk some bowl projections. Where do you want to see the Vols? Who do you think the best matchup is? 865-546-8200. To hop on the Next Door Home Group hotline, 546-8200. Talking some bowl games coming up next. We'll be right back. back on Overtime. Shout to mybookie.ag, the official sportsbook of Fan Run Radio. They will bring you exclusive coverage of Monday Night Football tonight. That's coming on after we get off the air, 8 o'clock. Westwood One will have the coverage there, FM 105.7 and AM 1340, brought to you by MyBookie. They bring you Sunday night and Thursday night football as well. Go over to MyBookie.ag. Get in on all the good sports action as the best time of year in the sports calendar. Still going strong right now.
It's been awesome.
And speaking of great times in the sports calendar, bowl season is a little over 2 weeks away, gentlemen. Next week, Tennessee will officially know where they are playing in a bowl game. And the updated projections after the end of the final week of the regular season of college football started to pour in yesterday. I'm trying to – I will get all the projections for all the different outlets. But I'll go ahead and start with ESPN stuff. So you had Mark Schlabaugh and I have to get his other name because I remember talking about it last week. They both projected the exact same bowl game and opponent for the Vols. The, how about this? The Outback Bowl, which is fantastic, but versus Minnesota. I don't know about that matchup. I like the game. I like that this team that was dead in the water after week two would end up playing on a New Year's Day bowl in Florida, which is fantastic. That matchup, though.
Yeah, you know, I've heard a lot of people say they'd be really excited to play a team like Minnesota, but when we always look at who wins and loses bowl games, you kind of look at, oh, well, this team wasn't very motivated. You can make the argument that Tennessee has a lot more to play for, but Minnesota is a team that is still proving themselves. I mean, people doubted them the whole year, and, I mean, sure enough, they started improving and beating better teams as the year went on. Really great season for them, regardless of what happened on Saturday.
I was about to say, they did get taken behind the woodshed.
Which, by the way,
Wisconsin. And speaking of the wood, you know, Wisconsin won the axe. They won Paul Bunyan's axe.
Which is pretty cool.
Badass trophy. Justin, what do you think about the Minnesota matchup? Potentially. Because I know the one you want to see, and that one could honestly come to fruition, but how about Minnesota?
I would not be opposed. I think it'd be really interesting to watch us play a team. I mean, they're good. Like they were ranked 15 when they played Wisconsin the other day. I don't know what they'll end up being ranked, but I think it'd be a challenge. Now there are much, like you said, there are better teams I'd like to see us match up with. I wouldn't be upset. It would just kind of feel strange seeing us play Minnesota already this season, but if we could pull out a win, I mean, that'd be a big win. So,
yeah.
I feel like we played them in some random bowl game in the 80s.
Probably.
It's probably the last time we played them. I think we did play them sometime in the 80s. So that's the latest from ESPN, and here's the other projections from other outlets here. So, the latest from 247 Sports, Gator Bowl, which has also been something that's been predicted since last week. And another intriguing opponent, I think you have a better chance to match up with them, but still be kind of tough, Indiana, who quietly had a pretty good season. So that's 247.
I will say that the last time Tennessee played Minnesota was in 1986. And it's the only time.
Look at the big brain on Tanner right here.
You are on fire today.
I know my encyclopedia. Now, was that the, if that's 86, was that Liberty Bowl?
I'm not sure.
Or is that some bowl that's like been discontinued? I don't know. Look that up. CFB News? Oh, God. Liberty Bowl. No, thank you. Against Iowa State? Matchup's fine. I ain't going out to Memphis, though. And CBS? Oh, I'd be in for this right here. Especially after what I saw Kentucky do to them. Music City Bowl versus Louisville.
Eric Gray, another 200-yard game.
Easily.
But yeah, Liberty Bowl.
Look at me. Check me out.
Wow.
That was kind of like a half guess, but I felt like it was
something. And it's a solid guess because the Liberty Bowl used to kind of mean something back in the day.
Yeah. So there you go. There's some projections there. Any of those really intrigue you, the ones I mentioned other than Minnesota? Again, we got Gator Bowl versus Indiana, 247 Sports, CFB News, Liberty Bowl against Iowa State, and then CBS, Music City Bowl against Louisville.
At this point, I feel like Tennessee has earned a Florida Bowl game. And a team like Minnesota, as I just said, I would rather not see Tennessee play because I want to see Tennessee play a team that was good, that didn't end the season well, because you might be able to get that motivation, or beat up on a bad Big Ten team. I wouldn't mind playing Indiana. I know they've been kind of hot to end the season, but it really helps when you get to play teams like Northwestern and Rutgers and Maryland. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, Tennessee didn't get to play Vanderbilt, but personally, I don't want to see Tennessee go to a game like the Liberty Bowl or the Music City Bowl in the state of Tennessee. At first, I was thinking maybe the Music City Bowl would be kind of fun, but let's let these boys enjoy the heat in Florida.
That sunshine.
As soon as you walk into Florida's atmosphere, by the way, it just smells like death. The death of a Big Ten team.
Sulfur water.
I mean, it is called God's waiting room for a reason.
It's God's waiting room for a crappy Big Ten team.
It's also true. Justin, any other thoughts on these bowl projections?
Bring me Jim.
You still want all the Harbaugh.
Is that still on the table?
I mean, it could be. Man, they, in Ann Arbor, nonetheless, completely, again, outclassed by Ohio State. You hate to see it.
Man, who would have thought that would happen? Literally everyone.
Oh, well, and everyone else, too.
Can't win the big one, Jim.
What's
Do you think it would be a fireable offense for him to lose to us in a bowl game?
Probably. They would absolutely want him fired after that.
Has he won a bowl game yet?
Yeah. Yeah. At least one. I don't know what year. At least he's won at least one.
Okay.
At Michigan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know he has. I think he beat Florida.
No.
No, they. I swear they put not. I know, oh, oh, I know oh, what yeah, you're yeah, thinking yeah. of. Know,
yes, and I think they did win
the last time. Actually. I'm talking about like they had Florida in a bowl game like 2 years before that. We shall see. I think you gotta think of you're on these bowl committees talking about especially Outback Gator Bowl. I mean, just think back a few years. I mean, you gotta think the same type of people were on the committee that were on it in 15 and 14, and oh, they remember how many Tennessee fans came down. Gator Bowl, Jacksonville, that stadium, they certainly remember Tennessee fans running the stadium dry of whiskey. So
let's do it again.
They're seeing some green right there. Keep in mind the fan base that plays a lot into who gets a bowl bid as well.
They kicked the crap out of Florida in his first bowl game, and then he's lost all three since.
I knew he had one.
To Florida State. I forgot about it. He lost to South Carolina. And
Florida. Oh, that is right. Ugh.
I forgot about that one.
Jimbo! Jimbo, Jimbo, Jimbo. So disappointing. So disappointing. Hit another break here. We'll come back. We'll touch on Tennessee basketball, recap their weekend as well. Also, we need to tell you about two Tennessee football players that put their name in the duh-duh-duh transfer portal.
Duh-duh-duh.
Already that time after regular season. Close out hour one of overtime. On the other side, you're listening to Fan Run Radio. Wrapping up hour one of overtime. This segment's brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Give it a nice little tap. Oh, there you go, Matt. If you ran out Truly over this long weekend, which you probably did, just go ahead and go to your local grocery store, pick you up some more, or go ahead and pick you up a 12-pack if you haven't tried any yet, which if you haven't, you are missing out. 13 varieties to choose from. 100 calories, less than 1 gram of sugar, less than 2 carbs, 5% ABV. It's light and refreshing. It's not going to weigh you down. Drink what you truly want to. So, real quick, talk about football. So, already today, the Monday after regular season ends, two Tennessee players have entered their name in the transfer portal. One is a freshman. One is a soon-to-be grad transfer here. Start off with the freshman wide receiver, Gerard Means. He entered his name in the portal. And offensive lineman Ryan Johnson, he will explore his options for his final season as a grad transfer. So it means he was already part of this class. 6'2", three-star prospect. Spent time at defensive back early in the season, actually. It's weird. With all the wide receiver depth you are losing, you wouldn't think you'd be losing wide receivers to the transfer portal.
Both of these transfers surprised me a little bit for different reasons. One, for means, we were, like you just said, we were thinking, well, yeah, you know, he'll probably get to play a decent bit next year. He has a lot of speed, and he was kind of one of those project players. He kind of was a gym prospect that they kind of picked up at the last minute. That one kind of surprised me a little bit. And Johnson surprised me a little bit more, too, because really? I was thinking that he would probably be back because he'd probably get to play. I think that Trey Smith is probably going to leave after this season.
That's fair, but you do also have to think that his main position is center, and Brandon Candy has already set on record he's applying for that six-year waiver. And this probably is a sign that Candy is expected to get that six-year.
And what made me curious about why Means is transferring is maybe they already know there's somebody else that's going to play receiver.
You do have D'Angelo Gibbs. He's
going right, and going. I think that could be a part of it. And I mean, I would hope it could mean there would be a really good receiver recruit. But I think it's probably about Gibbs because I mean I've seen him walk by before. He's huge and he looks really fast.
Wrapping this up, your main receivers returning next year, Josh Palmer. He's all of a sudden going to be your number one target in the room, which, I mean, you have seen great things out of him this season. So that's good. Brian Johnson will come back for his final season. You got Rommel Keaton, who will be a sophomore, Cedric Tillman as well, along with D'Angelo Gibbs. So there you go. In addition to whoever you will add in recruiting class coming up, this signing class. Switching gears to basketball, Tennessee, they split their pair of games in the Emerald Coast Classic. I mean, I thought going into the weekend that if you split the games, no matter which one you drop, one you won, that's a decent result. You lose the first one to Florida State, and by the way that one ended, you look back at all the turnovers that Tennessee committed.
20.
If you just cut those in half, you're going to win that game. Offense cannot get anything going, but as has been a staple of this program for the past few years, they're going to stay in about any game. They did drop that one by three.
I love how this team is playing defense. It makes me excited for going at teams like Kentucky, like Auburn, LSU, I guess maybe, that try to score a lot, and you just try to shut them down. I still have a lot of confidence in this team to make a big run, especially in the SEC. And I trust Barnes to get it done. Like you said, though, cutting down turnovers is a priority for this young team.
Yeah, 21 turnovers to 5 assists total for that Florida State game. Their length was just a massive problem for us.
That's a preview of things to come whenever you face teams like that, unfortunately.
We had multiple multiple 5-minute plus field goal droughts, which you just can't win basketball games if you're not scoring. It's just you can't do it. Hopefully we can kind of get out of this slump. I was glad that Lamonte hit that buzzer beater because we don't need our primary point guard, you know, with low morale coming off. If he doesn't hit that, then that's two not great performances from Lamonte coming back to Knoxville. So I'm glad that he got that buzzer beater. Hopefully we kind of left all of the ghosts down in Destin.
Yeah, and so FSU game is Friday, and to wrap up your trip down to Florida on Saturday, you talked about Lamonte Turner. Just Lamonte Turner's performance, not only from the field, but also just his ball handling, one of the big reasons that cost you that FSU game. And to quote Dumb and Dumber, just when I think you couldn't get any dumber, you go and do this and completely redeem yourself. Lamonte Turner hits the buzzer beater, just falling out of bounds, hits the three. You had a tied 69-69 game. Nice. You win 72-69 over a quality top 20 VCU team. He does a little bit. His numbers from the field weren't great, 5 of 14, but he got the plays we needed to. Had more assists and turnovers, had 7 assists, so you like to see that. You love to see John Fulkerson having 17-7. He hit some clutch free throws as well later on in the game as well. Jordan Bowden showed up a little bit more. He had 14 points as well.
He has to score for this team to be successful.
He does. Josiah James, I still want him to hit more shots, but he is putting some quality minutes in. You see a little bit more bench rotation, too. You see 13 minutes from Devontae Gaines, 14 from Jalen Johnson. So you're trying to get you a little bit more of a rotation as well. But you lose to an unranked FSU team, who's now ranked 17th, by the way. Yep. They've been pretty good so far. You make that up with beating a top 20 team. Tennessee does fall four spots in this week's AP poll, but you didn't go 0-2. That's the big takeaway there. Tennessee will be back in action against winless Florida A&M Wednesday night. Wednesday night over at the Cotton Bowl. Nice. And then it'll be finals break and then Memphis. So there you go. Hour one of overtime is complete. Hour two is coming up on the other side. 865-546-8200 is your number to join us on the Next Door Home Group hotline. We'll catch you with more overtime on the other side. God bless the Greens, Mrs. Robinson. Heaven holds a place.